Welcome back to church and a continuation of our series on empowering the generation. Christaline said, Mom, you look like you just walked out from the storybook, a classic storybook. And I wonder how many of us actually read classic, not to mention classic unabridged. Some of you do not know what I'm talking about. You want to have good English, you should read classic unabridged. Not even illustrated, not even adapted. Where stories you hear, not mommy and mom, but proper mother, father. May I have a cup of tea? And across the table, they will say, yes, you may, my dear darling. You may have a cup of tea. And then they pass the tea to the little one. Not across the table and you take. That is what we're talking about in this week, the silent generation. I have no time to curl my hair. This is the best I could get in a very short time with my scrunchie. I actually bought a curler that reached on time yesterday, but I may have to return because it warmed up. It did not heat up. So I tried last night. It couldn't do the curls that I desire it to be in the silent generation. In the 1925 until 1945, it's a 20-year span, so fashion would have changed. But I picked right in the smack that it's 1930s. And in the 20 years, every decade, the fashion changed. So this is when my grandma, who was born in 1930, she would look like that when she was a little kid. So my husband said, you look like a little kid. This is the closest dress I have to that century. But if you were to look at the Malaysian context, we have the Malays, we have the Indians, we have the Chinese. I look at pictures of grand aunties and grand uncles and my grandmother. They do wear samfu and cheongsam, but it's not exactly the cut and the fabric that we're using now. And I look through my wardrobe from my mother-in-law's collection, my ama's collection, I didn't find. I should have asked my mom to make cheongsam of different generation. Now, in the 1920s, 30s, and 40s, they wear samfu, which is not really slim-fitting, but it's a bit baggy. And the fabric is, unless you're rich people, the fabric is a bit like pajamas, floral, and the pants is like baggy, you know, like your PJ pants. So I have a few options, but I decided to wear the more Western style because through the generation, you will see that the Western fashion took over, right? And so it will be easier for you to see the progression of that in the Western fashion than actually tradition, all right? And you will want to join in the fun. The subsequent weeks, I invite you to dress according to the era. My daughter asked me, why you want to take all the trouble to go through this, leh? Because I strongly believe the manna must be fresh. I strongly believe the manna must be presented in an appealing manner. I strongly believe that the Word of God is alive and is food for our spirit and our soul. And I strongly believe there is nothing new under the sun, but it's just the way. How many people have actually come up with new recipe and food? It's just redefined. It's just represented in different kind of platter and arrangement to appeal to your eyes and taste bud. But before you taste, you see the colors and how it's been arranged to appeal you to the platter. And that's what I'm trying to do here. And I seek to do here. And I pray to do here that you will be hungry for the Word of God. Because last week, we say that the firm foundation for the fleeting generations, because generation come and generation go, but the Word of God stands forever. Amen? Amen? Father, we thank you for this time. We desire your Word. We want to be fed by your Word and drink in your Holy Spirit that we may be strong And we may arise to be bold and courageous in such a time like this. That we will make history. We will be history makers. Thank you, God, for the people who sit in this room. They shall be touched by you as I hide behind the cross in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm going to have three people up here. Sorry, I did not notify you earlier. Let's have one, Ashton, two, JC, and three, my father. How many of you have gone through, my father? I'm new one father, leh. How many of you, don't worry, you don't need to do anything, just stand. How many of you have gone through my temperament session? So that I know. Okay. Good. How many do not know, have not read, have no clue what is temperament? Hey, don't be shy. So that I will explain a little. If not, I just assume that you know. And you don't walk out of this church and say, I do not know what my pastor was blabbing about. Okay. So just to, for those who have gone through, Ned, come help me. So for those who have gone through my class, temperament is basically what the raw materials are that God put in a child right from the beginning. You do not change temperament. You do not change. You will become a better person or lousier person through the years, but your basic temperament do not change. So you can be a choleric, melancholy, phlegmatic, or sanguine, and out of the four, you will have 12 blends. Which I have no time. There's a separate session altogether. We can actually run a seminar on this whole empowering generation. There's so many things to talk about. So many games that we can play. So many activities that we can get engaged and dialogue. But we have no time to deal with that. So just know at least little, unless you want to talk to me later. It's your raw material. If you're born a granite, you are a granite. You do not become another stone. If you are a sandstone, you are a sandstone. If you are a marble, you are a marble. Understand? But you will be shaped by the erosion, the storm, and the weather of your life. Either you become rougher or you become smoother. But technically, the storm, if you study geography and environmental geography, the storm and the weather should make you smoother. Yeah? So that is temperament. But this child will continue to grow, not based on this temperament that God puts in it. Although we stress a lot understanding your temperament and understanding your natural design. Who am I? But as the child grow, lao liao. Okay, you can sit down. Or, okay, maybe stand here first. As the child grows, this temperament in him will be shaped by the environmental factors. So the sarong represent the environment that he has been growing up in. I cannot find a man's sarong. I cannot find, I just said. This is the problem with Gen Y, you know. Yeah, because Edward doesn't wear sarong. I cannot find, but this is my mama's sarong. Yes. Okay. So this piece of sarong represents the environment that the child who is growing up through the years. Beepai. Through the years. The child would be affected. But when we talk about environment, the person who asked me this question is not here. Where's Dina Karan? Oh, you're here. Oh, I'm black and white. Sorry. I'm so sorry. I just thought to me. I'm so sorry. Okay, so listen, Dina. I love you, Dina. So this is the one that you're asking. This is the environment. This is temperament that I still teach. This is environment. But what is environment? Environment have many factors. I'm going to highlight a few major factors that's going to impact, influence, break you or make you as a person. So the environmental factors, are you ready? Yes. So environmental factors, a main factor is your upbringing. I intended you to wear up here so that I can stick. Okay, then now you stick by yourself. The muala. Yeah. You should take pictures of JC in the sarong. All of you must learn how to wear sarong because we are Malaysian. All right. So, what are the environmental factors? One is upbringing. Upbringing mainly will be your parental influence. What kind of parents you have. But some of us are not raised by our parents. It could be grandparents. It could be uncle. It could be aunties. It could be some, for some people who grew up in orphanage. So upbringing is very important. What sort of elders do you have to parent you? Are they authoritative elders? Or are they authoritarian? Or are they the submissive kind? The chinchai kind? Do la, whatever you want to do. Or controlling one? Or the one that is very firm and assertive with rules, but care enough to put boundaries. So what sort of upbringing you have? Education. What kind of education you have? Or no education? Do you go to a kebangsaan school in a Malaysian context? Or a Tamil school? Or a Chinese school? Or a missionary school? And the missionary school do not exist nowadays. Convent, St. Xavier's, these are missionary school, BFS. But there is no value of Christianity in there anymore. But in those days, in my parents' time, that will make a very big impact because you have to study the Bible. And how high education you have, do you go to primary only, secondary? Did you go and get a higher degree, master's, PhD? It's one thing. Are you homeschooled? Unschooled, world school, y'all don't know what I'm talking about. Under homeschooling alone, there is many, many methods and there are many inverted comma denomination, right? So there's unschooling, there's world schooling, there's traditional method, there's Charlotte Mason, and there's so on and so forth. And all that who goes to homeschool center in Malaysia do not count as homeschoolers. I'm sorry, Crescento. Because that is the agreement of the homeschool community. That is a learning center. So why I'm bringing this up? Because it's shaped differently. Because some people say, why are you like that? Why are you like that? Why are you like that? Because education plays a big role. Generation. The generation that you grew up in. Which is what we are contending with, which we are talking about in this series of almost 8 weeks. I have not decided my concluding week, but it will take about 8 weeks, and we are on the third. We are on the third week. The first one, be consecrated. The second one, firm foundation for a fleeting generation. Today, the silent generation. Okay? So generation is one big major impact on the person. What else? We have culture. Now, culture is is linked. Culture is linked to upbringing. Our culture is linked to generation. Culture is also linked to faith. So culture, when we talk about culture, we talk about the race. We talk about which nationality you come from. We talk about you are urbanized or you are in a kampong or in a jungle. We talk about the faith that you actually believe in. So faith will be a major part. Do you believe in God or do you not believe in God, and which God you believe in? And even if you do believe in God, whichever religion you come from, do you actually practice by attending the temple or the church or synagogue? So on and so forth. So all these will be environmental factors. There could be more, but I'm just highlighting all this. That will shape the person. And then when we are talking, the character. And then you get what we call character. So it's a word that's been loosely used. Temperament, character, personality. So temperament is what is raw. It's in you. It's what's in you. The real you. The real deal. But the character is what people see. People see. That's you. That's you that has been shaped by all of these. Are you with me? That means if you are a math person, it's a very easy math sentence. It means temperament plus environment equal character. Simple. This is a short summary of my session on temperament. Okay, yeah? Then you ask, what's personality? Personality is what your outer projection that you want people to see you. That's personality. Are you with me? Personality is what you want people to see you, but not necessarily that's the you. But the character is the one that people actually see you and shape by all of these. And so today we are talking about just one major impact. So with all this taken in mind, put at the back of your mind that I cannot, you cannot generalize everything that we say. It's just going to be a global thing, but at the same time, we have to put in mind we are shaped by all these factors. Are you with me? So there's no two person that is exactly the same. We are all very unique. But then when we talk about generation, what are we dealing with? We are dealing with all these sub-issues that impact the generation that we are born. The parents who raised you, the grandparents who raised you, which generation were they born? The global events, the current events that happened during the time that you are kids, teenagers, and coming out of age. The term coming out of age means when you are at the brink of adulthood entering the workforce. So the late teens to the 20-something, you are called the coming out of age. Because by 30, you should be stabilized. So the coming out of age is when you move into the workforce. Global events, current events will shape us. Fashion will shape us. Media. Media is a big thing for our generation. Media is not as crucial in the past generation. But in this generation that we're living in, media is a big issue. Because we're talking about media that transform, can be accessed, all at our fingertips. You need just a mobile phone. You have your whole entire life and world in your hand. That is how powerful we are in this generation. Do you see or not? Because when we talk about media in the past, we're talking about newspaper. We're talking about news that happened, but you don't get right immediately that goes viral. in a few seconds, not even minutes anymore. We're talking about newspaper. Sometimes the event takes place, but it takes a few days and weeks before it's been printed out. We're talking about books, classic books written by the moral of that generation. And the silent generation, the classics will be Gone with the Wind, Winnie the Pooh. It's not a new thing. Little House on the Prairie, that series, have you read? It's a beautiful series. You must read Little House on the Prairie. So these are classic. These are media. The songs they sing. The dance they dance. Their entertainment is very different from ours. But media plays an important time, factor in our generation now, which we will only tackle 4 weeks from now. So do not miss the Gen Y session. So take a good look one more time. Stand together before I go in. Well, take me 15 minutes to do enthroning. Okay? So generation or era, thank you so much. Give them a clap for sending here. Generation or era one is born is one major part, the shape of individual. Well, what exactly are we talking about a social generation? Chris, can we see that slide, the first one? Now, a social, this is an overview every week we will be doing. But today I'm covering more, so you got to bear with me. Maybe you have to stay a little longer. Introduction, and then we go to communication and collaboration for our generations. And then we are dealing with exactly who the silent generation are. What are their needs and expectations and a word from God for the generation. So this will be what we're covering today. And next week, we will just do 3 out of 5 there. Okay? So next slide. Social generation. So a social generation, I didn't come up with this. This is extracted from the internet. And there's loads and loads of images and articles written on generation. And there is no end to studying them. So in my humble presentation, this is within the time that is given, within the context of seeking God, what to give to the church. This would be what we have in store for an hour plus. So it's not possible to cover A to Z of every generation. But I would encourage you to continue to read up so that you understand the generations around you and also the generation that you have been born in, which a lot of us have no clue. So it's this span of time between 18 to 22 years that you, your prime years. So whatever impact that come during that time will shape you as you shape the younger ones. So this is what we're talking about. But you will see that the generation span gets shorter and shorter now simply because of globalization. So the generational gap is getting bigger and bigger. Are you with me? Generational span versus a generational gap. So the longer the span is, the shorter your gap would be. Because it will not be so difficult to understand the next generation. All right? Are you following me? Good. So with our current global status, I wonder what my husband say I'm a strong woman. Okay. Can you this? Like push it up a bit. So because of a current global status, the research from the book that I read, 2020 Workplace, says that there is a shifting workforce demography because the traditionalist or the silent generation, they are the same. The traditionalist or the silent generation, they are retiring later. you see more of them are still actively involved in the workforce. And we are living in a time of knowledge economy. We have all the knowledge we want. One button, we get all the knowledge. And we are in a time, you know, there's a book, I have that book, it's called The World is Flat. The World is Flat talk about globalization. That means the changes are just too quick. It's just too fast for the organization to have time to tackle the major changes that's happening at a time. Following? So it's too quick for any organization. And so this new innovation that's coming up is reaching a penetration by the millions of households. We're not talking about a community. We're talking about global. Everybody wants to target the global now, right? Nobody wants to do a local business and entrepreneurship. Everything is about the world. Yes? You want to reach the world in a short time. And so we're living in a time where millions of households are just going through very rapid changes. Now you see, when in the times past, radio, the invention of radio, took 38 years to reach a penetration of 50 million household threshold. Are you with me? And then TV took 13 years to penetrate the million threshold into household. I grew up, I'm a Gen X. I was born in 1971. So I come of age in the late 80s, entering the workforce. But I grew up in a poor family. We do not own a TV. But my other Gen X's friends and classmates, everybody has a TV. Everybody has a color TV. So we do not grow up with a TV to own. I would just peep through our rented room, little holes to watch. I still remember with Kenny, still very young, afar from here, we are peeping and the TV is downstairs and that far where the cross is. And we are peeping through to see the cartoon, which is black and white. But it doesn't mean that my other Gen X friends were in my situation. They experienced, they enjoy TV. So these are the environmental factors that affected the different generation. I remember the first TV we got because my grandma, so kasihan us, they have to always peep through that little hole to see cartoon, you know? Scooby-Doo, where are you? So my grandma decided to save up and bought us a little 9-inch black and white TV. You imagine the elation, that elated mood in my household. Wow, we have a TV. A TV to call our own. But it's 9-inch little box. But the outside very nice. Oh, we have a red casing one. Remember? No? Red casing. But when you on, it's black and white. So we were so happy. Finally, I can watch TV without having to peep through the hole. I can watch Chow Yun Fat. But it's black and white. Le Hong Pan. You know? So you see, it took 13 years for TV to reach that threshold. But in this part of the world, in a poor family, it will take more. So that will impact us. It took internet, you see, from 38 years radio, 13 years for TV, but it took internet 4 years to reach the millions threshold. But of course, all this polling and research are done based on the American Western culture. So you have to backdate a little bit for Malaysian context. But I think we're living in such a fast-paced mode that we don't have that gap anymore. Understand? We don't have that gap like our forefathers have. And then it took internet 4 years to reach the millions threshold. It took iPod 3 years. And it took Facebook 2 years. You see the generational gap. Facebook took 2 years to reach a penetration of 50 million households. This is America. We are in a workforce which we call the digital workplace. We are no longer confined in a physical small office like the silent generation or the greater generation. The generation up one level is greater generation. They are the World War I generation. But we are a digital workplace. We don't even need to go to the office. We put a nice profile up there with suit and tie. But we sit in the comfort of our own bed in pajamas working. That is the generation we live in. And because of this current state, you know, the ubiquity of the mobile technology, the mobile phone primarily is the access to the internet, correct? You don't need the computer anymore. I still remember the first computer that entered my household. My mom bought it because Kenny was doing graphic design and he needs a computer. I was already in nursing. I entered the nursing. Not that computer didn't exist in my time. My friends are in IT technology. They're consultants now. But because we're so poor, we never had. So the first personal computer that entered my household was when Kenny was in college. I was already in the workforce. And those days, it was the chat room. You meet everybody in the world in the chat room. Nobody knows I'm talking about except the Gen X. And you get excited because you meet new friends in the chat room. And you can invite people into the chat room. But mobile phone is our primary access, not the desktop anymore. And that means it is small, it is mobile, it's moving with us all the time. That means the world is moving with us in our palm all the time. And that's why you are inseparable with your gadget. Now, this access to the internet alone through the mobile phone has 445 million users in China alone by the time 82008. 445 million mobile users in China in 2008. 2008 is almost a decade away. But that is the power of the acceleration of modern gadget. And because of all that, our culture of connectivity, a teen can be texting a friend, can be sending message on a Facebook, can be listening to the music on the iPod, can be engaging in at least 10 messages coming in and out. They are called the hyper-connected generation. But yet, not connected in person. True or false? You are a hyper-connected. When I say you are, because our church have a primary percentage of Gen Y. We'll come to that in 4 weeks' time. But I have good news for you. And so personal work life has blurred into a single extended conversation. Work, fun, family, everything is merged together. And so they coin up a term. We don't have leisure time anymore. We have a leisure time. Have you heard? Means you have work and your leisure merged together. Okay, you're not so in touch, huh? So this book, 2020 Workplace, call our generation the leisure, if you're American, leisure, if you're British. Work-life culture. So leisure time refers to a blurred line between work and fun. It's all merged. So now we want to talk about the communication and the collaboration of every generation that's colliding in the workplace, in the family, and also in the church. Although primarily, as we look around, we don't have a balanced demography in our church. And that's why that also poses some problems in our church itself, because we are not balanced in our demography. So today, my dad will represent the silent generation as well as the baby boomer, because by year, he's a baby boomer. But when I study the characteristic, he also take on a lot of the silent generation. Now, simply because he's at the borderline, he's the first year of the baby boomer. So if you are the first year and the last year of the generation era, you will have a mix of characteristics. So you decide where you fall in after you listen to all the description in the coming weeks. You decide where you fall in, okay? And so the communication, how do we communicate with these people? Now, the role of the church, according to George Barna, who is an author and minister, he says that the role of the church is to influence all dimensions of culture rather than shaped by the life of culture. Listen again. We are to influence the dimension of culture rather than be shaped by the culture. That is in line with Romans chapter 12. That we are in the world, but we are not of the world. We should not conform to the world, but we should shape the world. So something must happen within the church before we see transformation in the city and nations. And that's why we need to rise up, church, whichever generation we live in. So in preparing for this, seeking the Lord and reading up and researching secular statistics and books and sites together with the Word of God, I also asked some people, and one of them, she's my former mentor in a seminary. She is already in her 70s, so she should be in the silent generation. So she and the husband was teaching in a seminary, and she became my mentor. And after years, she has gone back retirement. I still talk to her every now and then. She's like a spiritual mom to me. And she would say, Selena, you are at the time where you should be mentoring people. At one time when I asked her a lot of questions, she says, stop running to me. I mean, inverted comma, like, don't worry. You have enough to give and influence, you know. Be confident, go and mentor others. That was many years ago when I talked to her. Like, don't have to keep running back to me. So I have learned to sought the Lord. But a few days ago, I talked to her on Facebook. She's back in America. And I say, how is the generation she's living now? Several questions. And how she's coping. What are the generational gap? But this is just a little bit of our conversation. She said, my culture was greatly impacted by the fact that I lived 36 years in three different cultures. And as missionary woman, I do not have savings and exempted from Social Security. It's a retirement fund in the U.S. So anyway, in short, she says, this would be the physical needs, looking at retirement, the worries, the anxiety of the aging community. So we must not forget that we have in our homes, in our church, in our surrounding. These are questions they are bombarded with. How long more do I have to live on earth? And should I fall sick? Should I become senile? Should I need nursing home? Who is going to fund me if I do not have a retirement fund? So she said, because I'm a missionary woman, I do not get retirement fund. So should all this happen, do I become a burden to my own children? And then the second issue, she said, that impact my reply to you would be, I've always lived in a Christian home, both my parents and our own. Our children, we raise our children to seek God's will always. When generational issues came up, our children, now 41, 46, 52, and 54, obey the laws of God and not the demands of society. Do you hear that? That's powerful. I'm talking about they are still living now, okay? Not then. This works well since their children, all, capital A-L-L, follow Christ, ages 4, who dearly love Jesus, up to 26. When I read their posts on FB, I realized that they all love God and their country. Worship regularly, meet with God alone, except the 4-year-old who meets with her mom. So regardless of what society has offered me, our children, and 11 grandchildren and great-grandchildren, we have chosen the ways of the Lord. I saw an FB video the other night of my 2-year-old great-grandson quoting a Bible verse at the top of his lungs. Beloved, emphasis, we ought to love one another. The caps and spaces are his emphasis, she says. So that is a short reply to our conversation. At the end of the day, who should shape us? The firm foundation. Who should shape the culture of the world? We, the Christians. Get it? Turn to your neighbor and say, you are to shape your culture. Now, question confronting the church is, what does this age stage fragmentation actually mean to us? Can we learn to communicate across the generation? Will we learn to pass on God's commands, our faith, to our next generation, many of whom feel they are so alienated from the communities? We have to embrace our authentic Christianity with sensitivity to each culture, to each generation, and then let God handle the rest of it. We do our best and God do the rest. Galatians 5:13-26 exhort us to be led by the Spirit, to leave our sinful nature and harvest the fruit of the Spirit, and then to walk in step with the Spirit. Led by the Spirit, leave the sinful nature, align ourselves with the Spirit. That's how we're going to live in every generation. Because the Spirit is alive, He will direct us in our generation. The Spirit, the Holy Spirit, do not live on dung. And we should not live on the holy dung. This is quoting another pastor long, long ago. Meaning whatever the Holy Spirit's work in the past, don't just glory on that in the past. Because the Holy Spirit is alive and is doing new things. Amen? Amen? The Holy Spirit is alive in you? Yes or no? If the Holy Spirit is alive in you and in me, shouldn't we be active and alive and as powerful and vibrant as the Holy Spirit? Yes or not? And we, if we are called the hyper-connected generation, shouldn't we be more connected than any other generation to be connected with the Holy Spirit? Amen? Because you can leave your gadget, you can forget your gadget. I'm one of the victim and culprit of always leaving my handphone behind. And then my husband tells me, do you know that you left your handphone behind? Because my daughter texts her, mom left her handphone. I'm not a gadget person. Gadgets, they're really a burden. They're really a chore. If I can, I will not carry handphone. Because you don't have peace. People text you, people, and then they expect you to reply, you know, your phone calls. And sometimes I wonder, why, God, am I in this generation of mobile handphone? But we can leave our handphone behind. You don't have to leave the Holy Spirit behind because the Holy Spirit lives in you. The Holy Spirit lives in me. Amen? So when you have the Holy Spirit, you have everything. You don't believe me, huh? Now, I want to quote to you. So what do we do as churches? As churches, we need to help confront every real problem that exists in every generational era. Apart from preaching faith, we need to help each other to confront the problems we face. And then with the power-packed faith coming in to move and advance what God wants us to do. So quoting Nancy Hankin, she said, generations are interdependent, not distinct, discrete entities. Hankin holistically of our... Hankin challenges us as Christians to look holistically at our communities and view each generation as an asset. We are to view each other as an asset. Turn to your neighbor and say, you are an asset. Tau ka asset tu apa? If don't know, ask your neighbor. We need to develop creative strategy for meeting the needs and utilizing the talents of all age group. And we need to promote interdependence in our churches. Intergenerational interaction will help the church to face the challenges of the future. So one of the problems that face our local church, when I say our local church, means us here in GCC, we do not have a balanced demography. So we tip at one end. So we need to balance up. We can only pray that we understand one another's makeup and help to move on and advance with God's grace and knowledge and wisdom and power. Now, who is the silent generation? They are called the traditionalist. They are called the generation, get it done. Don't talk so much, get it done. This generation is people who talk a lot and don't get it done. 好笑啊，哈喽。能够讲环境在咯，一激励 you know. So who are they? When they are born and come of age, what makes them? How do they function? Chris, can we look at the chart of the generation? The chart, chart, as in the graph chart. Yes. Now this is just one of the charts, but I chose this because it's colored and bar so that you can see it clearly. But again, give and take 2-3 years in the difference bracket, okay? So, the greatest generation, actually this is wrong, this is the silent generation. The greatest generation is one generation up. So, one generation up, that is World War I. And then, after that, is the silent generation, or the traditionalist, or get it done generation, is until 1945. And then, after that, is the baby boomers, 1946 to 1964. And then it will come down to Gen X, 1965 to 1984. And then Gen Y, 1985 until Gen Y, until 2000 or 98, 2000. So you see there is a overlap in the younger generation because our gap is getting bigger, our span is getting shorter. And then you have the Z, or the millennials, there are different terms, but to break it down later on. So for me, I will take Gen Y up to 1984. Gen Z will be 85. I'm confused. Gen Y will be until 84. Gen Y, no, Gen Z, Gen X, sorry, Gen X. And then Gen Y will be up to 2000. 98/2000, and then after that will be Gen Z. And after Gen Z is 2000 to 2010. So you see the years are shorter, 10 years. And then after 2010, like Ezra, they are the Alpha. Okay? Okay, so that is the chart roughly show you that. So these people, the silent generation, they are born between 1925 to 1945. And that would mean it's a span of 20 years, two decades. Fashion change, world events change. But these people, they are too young to serve in World War II, but they enjoy the post-war. They enjoy the stability of the post-war era. So they are raised as children to be seen, not to be heard. In Chinese, it says, Gina Mingoniti. Children to be seen, not to be heard. This is how my mom always tell me. So I always feel like I'm very, my mom is very old fashioned, you know, but that's how I grew up. And there's some good in it. She always say, children don't talk too much. If you hear anything, you just listen. You do not comment. You do not say anything. You do not fight back. So we are not allowed to argue back. We are not allowed to answer back, even if you are right. The parents will always be right. Are you with me? So you see, though I'm Gen X, my parenting environment is very different from most Gen X. So this one, my father-in-law, Bo Sim's father, they are the silent generation. So why are they called silent? They become very obedient and submissive to authorities, whether they are parents, elders, bosses, God, they are always, yes, I'll do it. I won't say so much. So they are get it done generation. So they come of age in the 50s and 60s. And defining moments for them would be the events like World War II, Korean War in America. They shape people who are hardworking, who are loyal, who are patriotic. So the two qualities that stand out in the silent generation is dependability and sacrifice. These people, they will sacrifice their own needs for their family, for their church, for their community. Work and family life stable. They form the cultural norm of a godly society. Their wants and their needs work towards a common goal that is for others, not themselves. And I see a lot of that in my parents. They are the people who will sacrifice for the sake of their children and their family. My dad married very young. And he did not finish his high school. He decided to stop after Form 4 in Methodist Boys' School, not because he is not a good student, but because he said he don't like to study. Don't like to study and not smart is different. So he started work at 16. You see, that would shape you when you go to work at 16. He married at 24. He became a dad at 25. How many of you, 24, ready to get married? Guys? And he don't only raise 3 kids and a wife who stay home. He raised his younger sister who never went to school until she got married at the age of 36. He took care of his aging parents until they died. He has 4 other siblings, but very minimal contribution. That is the trait of the silent generation. He never complained. He just worked for the old generation and for the young generation, sacrificing all his needs. That is the silent generation. Do you see that in your father, Paul? So you guys review your grandparents, maybe. If you don't have parents, maybe your grandparents, your great-grandparents. It depends on when they get married. My ama, some of you have seen her. My ama died some years ago. My ama was born in 1930. So she is from this generation. She married very young. That is the trait of this generation. She married at the age of 16, became a mom at 17, became a grandma at 41. And I, in this age, I said, wow. Cool, man, my ama 41. Every time she comes into Common Light Street, my friend will say, that's your ama? Wow, she's so young and beautiful. My ama. I'm in high school, she was only 50 plus. So they married young. They have traditional role of husband and wife. Means they are very clear in their role. Stable in the company. They work for donkey years. They work 3 decades in the same company and they never leave. They never complain about their boss. Even they don't like the job, they still do it. The morality was an in thing. It was an in thing to be godly and to be morally upright. It's the opposite now, right? Oh yeah, you're so square one. Haven't had sex before? At 16 years old, you have not? That's the culture we live in. And we deceive ourselves. Morality was the in thing then. The silent generation is called the no fast generation. They observe the most societal changes until postmodernism now. They are 70 plus now and onwards. Technology have changed. The first credit card came in. When? Guess. First credit card. I'm racing time, so I'm talking very quickly. Which one? First credit card. First credit card came in 1946, the year my dad was born. First color TV, 1950. First computer, 1981. I was 10. First www.1991. Google, 1998. And then you have other social media, right? You have Facebook, you have YouTube, you have Twitter, etc., etc., etc. But many of these group of people are still in the workforce. They are holding high position. They are CEOs in big companies. They are people who run global companies. They are ministers in government. They are church leaders and elders. They are grandparents. They are parents who still are the epitomes of our life. The generation include many political and civil rights people. Some of them you would know. I just pick a few. There's just too many. Elizabeth II, Martin Luther King Jr., Pope Francis, Pope Benedict, Robert Kennedy, Ted Kennedy, Saddam Hussein, Margaret Thatcher, Yasser Arafat, Mahathir Mohamad. These are great leaders of the world. Am I right? Margaret Thatcher is called the Iron Lady. So whether good or bad, their influence, they are still dynamic leaders in the world. Yasser Arafat, Saddam Hussein. Writers and artists, Marilyn Monroe. When I wear this, I thought of her. And then you have Jane Fonda, Mary Tyler, James Dean. My dad will know all this. Clint Eastwood, Morgan Freeman, still alive and serving in the Hollywood industry. I love Morgan Freeman's show. Gene Hackman, Dustin Hoffman. These are great artists. Paul Newman, The Beatles, Tina Turner, Sean Connery. Wow. Roger Moore, Elvis Presley. These are the people of the silent generation. You recognize some names because they are still actively in their field. So what are the needs and expectations of this generation? First one, there'll be three that I will highlight. First is recognition. The Bible says in Proverbs 16:31, gray hair is a crown of splendor. It is attained in the way of righteousness. And of course, a lot of our people now, we rather dye our hair and have gray hair. Because it's the crown of glory. It is the symbol of righteousness. It carves the wrinkles on your face. It carves character. It makes who you are. I can't stand gray hair standing out like that. I'm praying that if my hair were to grow gray, quickly grow gray all the way, so that I do not need to dye, because I can't stand a bit here and there. It's like if it's all white, wow, it's just very beautiful. You know, so I'm waiting for the day that I'll be old and gracious and all white hair. And I won't dye. Proverbs 12:12 say, "Is not wisdom found among the aged? Does not long life bring understanding?" Some of us youngsters think that we know a lot about life. We talk, we act like we know a lot about life. But we cannot deny that people say, "What ya am, ka jie lu jie bi." I eat salt more than you eat rice. It is true. And salt has flavor. Rice is plain. Betul ka? But we get so agitated when old people tell us that, right? But it's true. You can have all the knowledge you can get from internet. It cannot be compared to the experiences they have gone through in life. Never. Experiences cannot be equated with the knowledge you just gained from books and internet. And knowledge alone, the Bible tells us, if we have knowledge alone, it puffs up. It gives you pride. And that is the problem of Gen Y. We have too much knowledge. And we do not know how to implement that knowledge. So number one, we need to recognize that these people have gone ahead of us. But do not assume that they are less tech savvy. Not all of them are less tech savvy. Some of them are way advanced. So if you're talking in a local context, maybe your ama, your akong, yeah, less tech savvy. But globally, we're talking about globally, a lot of them are way ahead of us. My professor, lecturer, mentor that I just quoted, she was way ahead of me. Of course, it's a bad example, my kids say, because I'm never into technology. I don't really have this sentiment with technology. I use them because I have to, but I will not indulge in them. But she was way ahead of her students in all the computer knowledge. So do not assume that all old people are less tech savvy. Do not make fun of them. And most research based on the Western poll says that because many educated ones, they are still very efficient with technology. We have to recognize them. Do not disregard their roles in your organization, in your companies, in society, in the home, in the church. Be careful not to make them feel redundant. Old people are not redundant. And because of health and pharmaceutical progress in the last years, old people are getting stronger with all the supplement and all the natural remedies that are coming in this season. People are really taking care of themselves. So old people are not necessarily old and frail. You drive around in Penang alone. You see all the old people in the 70s and 80s are still driving. Yes? Edward's auntie in Kuala Lumpur is 89 this year. She is fit as a fiddle. She still drive. She still cook. She can still score you. She is alert. She's 89 and driving. Up one level, Edward's great-grand-aunt is now in the nursing home. It's 102 or 3 this year. She was fit in the 80s and the 90s. Under the last couple of years, she went senile. She lost her entire family in the 70s. She lost her daughter in a plane crash. She lived alone in a rented room in Tanjung Bunga, all alone for decades. When I first knew her, it was 20 years ago. This year, I would be married 20 years. So I knew her for 20 years. The first time I walked into her rented room, I was just so amazed by this old lady, single old lady who lived for decades because the husband died early and the only daughter perished in 1970s in a plane crash. She lived alone based on the husband's pension or something like that. She was frugal. She was neat. Her room was neat. Stop and speak and spend. She is neat. She wear a sarong, no doubt, but she was just beautiful and she was aging gracefully. She doesn't know the Lord. I have shared the gospel to her. She said, oh, I want to go home. I want to see already, you know, so old already. That's before she went senile. And so I shared Jesus. Of course, to her, she is idol worshipper. She didn't receive Christ, but the last few years she has gone senile. But I'm saying that a lot of these old people, they are still fit in the 80s and the 90s. I'm not so sure if I can be as fit as them. We do not disregard that they do understand your challenges of growing up pain. Because they grew up too. Don't talk to them as if they don't know what is growing up pain. Don't talk to them as if they don't know what it means to struggle in family life, raising family and a working life. If not, they've gone through more than you and I. And the warfare that we are contending today, tomorrow, is the same as the yesteryears. Correct? The strategy of the enemy remains the same. Deception. Deception packaged in different ways and methods to appeal to the different generation. But it's the same strategy. So if it's the same strategy, then the antidote would be the same. The Word of God. So when we talk about how the enemy lure us through deception, it's always the three things that Jesus went through, that your forefathers went through, that your father and mother went through. the lust of the eye, the lust of flesh, the pride of life. It is the same. It remains the same. And so how do we counter? We conquer with the word of God. Number two, appreciation. Okay, two, then three, then we end. Deuteronomy 32 verse 7 says, remember the days of old, consider the generations long past. Ask your father and he will tell you. Ask your elders and they will explain to you. Appreciate the presence of this generation because their presence gives us a stability of the atmosphere because they are the peaceful people. They are the no fuss people who balance the scale, which we are tipping at one end in our church. They complete a unit. When you go out, when you have family reunion, when your grandfather and grandmother is there, doesn't it feel good because it's a complete picture of a family? I don't have my ama now, and now I don't have my mother. It's very different from the days when everybody gathered together, one big family, 大家庭. So this is my quote. Some of you don't like history. I do not fault you because we're made differently. I love history. My kids love history. We read history almost every day because history defines our present, correct? Which then provide a runway for our future. Are you with me? History defines our present, which then provide a runway for our future. The stories which are rich with life's lesson told by the silent generation, you got to remember them. Remember they survived the difficult times. They walked the hard journey that you and I did not go through. We have it easier. I had it easier in Gen X. In Gen Y, you have it easier still. They step on more pebbles in life than you sleep on your bed of comfortable cushion. They watch the massive global event turns and shape and affect and transform their nation and their lifestyle. So you talk about adapting to changes. This is the generation that have to adapt to social changes the most. They have to watch the change that we do not have. We just enjoy. Number three, honor. 1 Timothy 5:17 says, the elders who direct the affairs of the church well are worthy of double honor, especially those whose work is preaching and teaching. Why? Because this generation, whether you're talking about church or home or workplace, they deserve double honor because they should be respected the highest for still being around and still thriving while we are complaining after 2 years of work, 3 years of work, 5 years, we are down here already. I haven't come to Gen Y. But one of the characteristics in the research says Gen Y do not stay in a job more than 3 to 5 years. Because you're always looking for the dream job. But the silent generation just work and be stabilized in the same place. So they are not the risk takers, but they are the peacemakers. So, the fact that they are still thriving in a culture which is totally overhauled, I really think that they deserve a badge of distinction, don't we? They are the real students of life. They have learned the hard way and they have passed the test. Maybe they have failed some because we all fail some. And in their final lap, what do we do? We honor them with our time, with our patience. We sit with them with a cup of tea or Starbucks or Kopi O. We hear their stories of their victories and defeat and pain. We glean from them the nuggets of wisdom in life, because these will shed light in our own journey as we hear them and hear them well. Remember, they are the personal, family-oriented people, the silent generation. So they don't naturally comply to your word text. My father-in-law tells me, do not SMS me. I don't reply. He don't reply is because he is, I don't know what's the word to use, but he's not tech savvy. Every week we go, he asks the same question to my daughters. Come, Ashley, teach grandpa how to do this. So the same week, we teach him the same thing. So he always tell me, don't text me, don't SMS me. They are the people who still use call. They do not comply to word text. They are upfront people. They want your presence. They want to talk to you. When I was serving in Lam Hua Yi Hospital, and when I was staying in campus, I used to clock out, and in my free time, I would just walk to the nursing home next door and just walk around and talk to the old people. I love to hear their stories. Some of them are so old, nobody talked to them, and they just appreciate that someone would just be interested in their stories. These are lonely people, to be interested in their stories, and I used to do that and just hear of their pain, hear of their love stories. And then suddenly it dawned upon me that they were young ones. They know what it means to fall in love and fall out of love. They know what it means to get married and have family. They know all that. You know, I have a youth, my former youth in my former church, bump into us one day in Queens Bay, or Gurney, can't remember. We were out on our weekly date. And he was like, drop jaw. Wow, you and Pastor Edward still date? I was like, what? Why shouldn't we date? Shouldn't we be dating until the day we are called to be apart? So don't think that we don't have feelings anymore. Don't think the silent generation don't have feelings anymore. Give them your time and your ear. So recognition, appreciation, honor. Now, as I conclude, this is the word for the seniors. And technically, we do not have silent generation here, but you can carry this and impart through your gesture, through your sharing, through your appreciation, recognition, and honor to your parents, to your grandparents. You could do this to encourage them. But there will be similarities today and next one on baby boomers. But a word to the senior like my dad, because he sits in between these two generations. 2 Timothy 4:7-8. I have fought the good fight. I've finished the race. I've kept the faith. Now there is in store for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day. And not only to me, but also to all who have longed for his appearing. So to the seniors, to my dad, to all your parents, grandparents, or your bosses that you work with, remember to pray for them. Remember to empower them. Remember to encourage them to fight a good fight and finish it off strong. It's not how you start the race, it's how we end the race. And we got to end strong. You may fall along the way. Pick yourself up and keep moving. Don't sit there and whine, sit there and fast and kick your leg and cry and complain. That will make you old fast. Just move on and end well. Because the Lord is our righteous judge, he will award us. Isaiah 46 verse 4 say, even to your old age and gray hairs, I am he. I am he who will sustain you. I have made you and I will carry you. I will sustain you and I will rescue you. Hear the Lord say, I will. I am and I will. God is saying to you, the seniors, he is all that you want him to be. He is complete for you. He will be with you. He will carry you. He will strengthen you. He will rescue you. He will be with you till the end of age. So what do you need to do for the silent generation? You got to stay confident. Do not be intimidated by the younger, tech-savvy generation. So your responsibility is to make people like my father, Bo Sim's father, if you know, your grandfather, your grandmother, to feel confident. Not to ridicule them when they do not know how to use their gadget or give them that face. If they need help, help them. Have you seen that video of the mom trying to attract the attention of the son? Nobody. Okay, never mind. Number two, encourage the young. Neither be critical of their makeup and do not expect them to be the same as you because they are not born in a silent generation. And you got to grant them grace. Just as you have been granted grace to endure much changes, you got to grant grace to the young people to grapple with what they are facing in this generation. Because your encouragement, your words of wisdom will be empowering to the young people. Never mind if you can't talk much, but here and there, now and then, give that extra boost so that the young ones can carry on one more step and be better people. Be proactive, number three. Do not be redundant. You're still needed. To the people like my dad, I say, you're still needed. Life's challenges are similar, but the core of it, the values, the virtues in life are the same throughout the generation. So if you are the generation that carry morality and core values that's biblical, then remind the young generation and watch them as they celebrate their achievement. Number four, to the seniors, celebrate the present. Don't look back. You know the Chinese like to say, 想当年, right? Look back to the old days. Zaman gemilang, kononnya. And we sing songs like, I wish it never end. Celebrate the present and do not regress to the past. The past make who you are, but what you are right now, you got to give it, contribute to the young. Lastly, number five, God is your promise keeper. To the senior, God is your promise keeper. Psalm 71, 18, the last scripture. Even when I'm old and gray, do not forsake me, my God, till I declare your power to the next generation, your mighty acts to all who are to come. So leave your spiritual legacy, and to the young people, receive that legacy. Let's rise.
Father, we pray that you search our hearts, even as we began talking about the different generations. Lord, the silent generation, a lot of them represent our grandfathers, perhaps our colleagues, or, you know, uncles or granduncles. And Father, we pray, Lord, that you would, from this day forth, help us to see them in a different light. Lord, help us to be very sensitive to them and not do things that, Lord, would offend them. But at the same time, we pray, Lord, that we would also learn from this silent generation. Lord, that we would appreciate, Lord, the hard work, the stability that they have, the discipline that they have. And Lord, we pray that you would help us to learn and to apply those in our lives. Because these traits, Lord, originate from you, the good traits, because you are good. And you speak of it in scripture. And so, Father, we pray that you would teach us to apply those in our lives. as we look at our parents, our grandparents, our uncles, aunties, Lord, help us, Lord, to see what you are doing in our midst. So change us, Lord, as we seek to glorify you in all that we do. For this, we pray and we give you thanks. In Jesus' name, amen.